listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary with hosts Mary Ann Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to the Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, your host for today's show, Catholic therapist here in Columbus, and I'm so glad to have you join me today. I love living in Ohio because we're able to enjoy the beauty of the four seasons, spring, summer, winter, and fall. Each one of them has a majesty of their own that always causes me to pause and absorb their beauty. And there's something about the cyclical nature of them, their comings and their goings, that reminds me of the seasons of life in general. A season doesn't pass that I don't think deeply about these things, the comings and the goings. And so it is with those we love, their comings and their goings. And before I introduce our guest today, I was thinking about this topic this morning, which led me to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 18. And so here we go. I'm going to read it to you. It's so worthy. There is an appointed time for everything, and a time for every affair under the heavens, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot the plant, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to be far from embraces, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. So how does this all tie with the topic that we're going to talk about today? Well, in every parent's life, there is a time to bring children into the fold, into the family, and there's a time to let them go, a time to release them. They go off to college, they go off to marriage, they go off to kindergarten, and that's even a difficult time for a lot of parents. I know when the parent stands there as the bus picks them up and off they go for their first day of kindergarten on that bus, and the parents get in the car and they follow the bus to school just to be sure that their sweet little child may get off and be safely, and then they cry as they watch them go into school. Well, that happens when they go off to college just as much, when parents pack their bags and send them off and help them move into that dorm room, and then they leave them. And it seems like they've dropped them off into this great abyss that is the what's going to happen to them? What if they get sick? What if I've raised them in the faith. What happens with their faith when there's all kinds of faithless people that I'm putting them in this swamp with? How will they survive? What's going to happen to them? We know that college professors sometimes don't always support and protect and defend the faith. Well, what do we do with that? How do we find a safe place for our children amongst that? My guests today are going to tell us about this, and I'm so happy. They're all people from St. Paul's Outreach. You may have heard, I've had them on the show before. I try to do that at least once a year, if not more. We've got some other shows planned down the road, and I can't wait. But today we're going to be talking about really what St. Paul's Outreach is. We have Dominic Demite with us, and Dominic is the development director. He is a long-standing member of St. Paul's Outreach, in fact, one of the founders in Columbus here, which is so awesome. Dominic has a long history here, and we have Carol Reith, who is recently graduated. She is a member of St. Paul's Outreach and now is doing St. Paul's Outreach beyond college, and we'll hear more about that. And we also have Mitch Wilson, who will graduate in December. And Mitch is the man with the radio voice. We've got to give a shout out because Mitch is a regular on The River. He'll tell us more about that as well. So had to put that in. He's laughing himself silly right now. Anyway, welcome to all of you. We're so happy to have you with us. Hopefully the River will give St. Gabriel Radio a plug back. I hope you're listening, River.
Hey, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Okay, so Dominic, let's start with you if we could. Tell us about the history. Tell us about your history with St. Paul's Outreach, why it's important, what got you started, and where we are today with St. Paul's Outreach.
Well, thanks, Marianne, for having us on. And yeah, I would love to tell you that. It was such a blessing in my life when I first encountered St. Paul's Outreach, because shortly after I really encountered Jesus Christ as an adult, then the Lord led me into knowing of this ministry. And I was about 20 years old at the time. I'm now 34. And I was a college student at Ohio State University. And growing up in a good Catholic home, going to church on Sundays, my parents instilled good Catholic values in my life. Went to a Catholic high school, and yet that didn't translate into my daily living, especially in college. And with the pressures and the culture of college, I easily got swept up in that. And I was a junior in college, starting to question if my life was actually meaningful and what I was doing with my life. And because I started questioning that, I guess that opened my heart up a little bit. And I wasn't necessarily looking for God, but I guess I had a little bit of an open heart, and God found his way in there and absolutely just changed my life, changed the trajectory of what I wanted in life, and gave me a deeper understanding of who I am. And as a going into my senior year of college at Ohio State University, I wanted to help other college students experience the power of Jesus Christ that I had experienced. And so I went out to the Newman Center to meet other Catholics to be able to start to grow in faith with those other Catholics. And there I ran into a group of friends that were just so wonderful in my life. Mm-hmm. And through those friendships, I had an opportunity to learn about St. Paul's Outreach, and that was up in Minnesota. And so a group of my friends and I would travel out to Minnesota a couple times and get some more exposure. And then Minnesota, the missionaries in St. Paul's Outreach out there started coming out to Columbus. And they put on a retreat for us, and that retreat was another pivotal moment in my faith journey.
So and what year was this, Dominic?
This was all happening probably around 2003.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just that retreat was pivotal for my faith. And at that moment, or after that weekend, I said to myself, I was like, we need to bring this ministry to Ohio State. And so me and some friends, Andrew Keeby, who still works for the ministry and is the director of the program here in Columbus, Ohio, we helped get it going. We started we started a household program in 2000. It would have been 2004, and there were eight men that lived in this first house of St. Paul's Outreach, and that households are one of our staples that we do. Maybe we can share a little bit about that later and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
We started a house of eight men, and the following year we had a house of maybe six women. And as the years progressed, we just had more and more student involvement, more and more lives being changed. And I remember there were times when we were first starting to try to get St. Paul's Outreach off the ground here in Columbus, we would question, is this going to actually work? And is it going to make an impact. And I just kept going back to the fact, even if it doesn't get off the ground, even if this doesn't like become a big ministry and impact more lives, I've seen the impact and the fruit in my own life. And if it was just for one person, it would have been enough. Because my life was so radically changed through this ministry and learning how to actually live as a just as a Catholic man. Mm-hmm. And so, but it wasn't just for one person. It was for many.
So there were eight guys that were originally in that household, did you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that seed fell on good soil. How did it grow from that point on? What caused it, the outreach that you did at that point in time from that those very early? He's laughing.
Well, I think it was the grace of God, because you know, a lot of us we had a lot of fervor and mm-hmm. a lot of zeal
yes.
for the faith and
yes.
for Christ. We didn't have a lot of experience.
That's all right. So, it worked. God doesn't ask yeah. for experience.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just think there's just a lot of hunger out there. Mm-hmm. There are so many young people seeking truth and seeking goodness. And at that time in college, you really, you're exploring life. Mm-hmm. You're trying to learn who you are and where you fit in this world. And there's an openness that a lot of college students have. And I think... just our approaching people and asking questions and trying not to be proselytizing them and forcing the Bible down people's throats and just building friendships
yeah.
and
yeah.
Just getting to know people mm-hmm. and really being interested in their life, I think that became attractive. And I think other people also saw the deep relationships and friendships that we had.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was attractive also.
And they were unique friendships, I imagine, and people could see that there was something real, not phony, about those friendships, yeah. I would guess. Because,
absolutely.
You know, that typically college age is a bit of an age of putting on the masks.
Mm-hmm.
You put on the mask of alcohol. You put on the mask of whatever it is. Clothing or whatever to look good, to act. It's so important to have friends, but the friends that you oftentimes get are not true friends.
Yeah, and you know, I would even say the masks don't start at college and don't end at college.
Right? No, for
the
sure
masks
they don't.
Are life.
They
you
are.
Know, we put on these masks because we want to put on a good show for
we
other
want
people.
People to like us.
We want people to like us, even in adulthood. We yeah. want people to think that think something of ourselves. And if we're not rooted in Jesus Christ and rooted in our faith of the Catholic faith, it's so easy to put those masks up
mm-hmm.
and to live life in this fake picture.
You know, Dominic, I agree all the way on all of that. I think college years are a particularly dangerous time for the masks because you're out of the nest now.
Absolutely.
You're out of everything that you knew that was comfortable and that you could fall back on. And now you have yourself to fall back on. If you don't have a good few solid friends or a brother or sister who's at college there that are strong and help, it becomes a dangerous time for young people to go out with their masks. So that's why I love St. Paul's Outreach so much. So before we bring on Carol and Mitch, tell us a little bit about how St. Paul's Outreach went from where it was, eight people, to where we are now. How many households do you have? How many people are involved? What's happening?
Yeah, we have about, well, we're reaching out. So the way that we kind of do our ministry is we've kind of summarized it into four words. We reach out to students on campus. We call them onto a relationship with Christ. We form them as disciples on mission, and we send them out to be able to
mm-hmm.
Be ambassadors for the church, missionaries for mm-hmm. the church. So we reach, call, form, and send students. And right now we have six houses in Columbus. And those are, there's about 50 students living in those houses.
Male and female.
Male and female. That's kind of our bread and butter. That's where we really can dive deep with students. But outside of the households, we have about 300 students who are involved in some type of weekly activity that, that we're doing with on campus and with the students. And then we're reaching out to close to 2,000 students. That might be a one-touch opportunity that we go out on campus and we'll just get in conversations with students. And that might be the last time we talk to them.
That just a seed one has been planted, yes. though. That's there, and they can remember that and tap into that when they're 30.
Yes.
40, whatever, if they haven't done anything with it prior. I want to say also that this isn't just Ohio State University in Columbus. You have Ohio Dominican.
Yeah, we're at Ohio Dominican as well. We have about 30 students involved at Ohio Dominican, and it's been a fun journey at ODU. We, in the last few years, we really have been putting more investment in there. We have two missionaries who are serving at Ohio Dominican, and they are working with the students there. It's exciting times to be able to see that we're making an impact at that university as well.
That's so awesome. And speaking of exciting, we have our two SPO, well, one graduate and one who's soon to graduate. And so let's turn over to Carol Reith and Mitch Wilson. Let's start with you, Carol. Let's talk about your experience with SPO. How many years were you involved? How did you get involved? And what has it done for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Columbus and got involved in youth ministry here. And my youth ministers were either in college or just out of college, and they had been involved in St. Paul's Outreach. And so it was in high school that I first met the Lord and really desired to live a life of holiness, really desired to have holy friends. And so when I was entering college, I had had that seed of St. Paul's Outreach planted. They had spoken about it. They had told me about it. And so I went in intending to look for SPO, and I found it pretty quickly. And at the beginning, I definitely didn't necessarily feel like a part of it, you know? It's this whole community of people, and you're new to college, you're just feeling it out. So it kind of felt like an extracurricular activity that I went to. Like, I showed up at events. But as college progressed, and as I really encountered people, sisters specifically, that I wanted to run with, that I wanted to share my life with, it became less of an extracurricular event and more of, like, a lifestyle. So my sophomore, junior, and senior year, I was in formation, which is the program that Dominic spoke about. So we pray together, we hear teachings about the faith, and then we meet in small groups.
So did you actually move into household then? Is that, or no?
No, I actually never lived in household.
Oh, you didn't?
I lived down the street in a house with six girls that I went to high school with, which was really cool.
Nice.
It was a really blessed time for us all.
Yeah.
So, but I was in the formation program for 3 years, and in that, I just really learned a lot about Christian discipleship, what it means. Because I loved the Lord. I loved Jesus. But I didn't know a lot about what it meant to live for him. And that's what I learned how to do in SPO with my best friends. These people were no longer people that I just showed up to events and saw, but they were people that I lived my life with. I prayed with them. I had coffee with them in the morning. I ate dinner with them. I called them when things were hard. So they were really my community. And within the context of that is where I really encountered the Lord more. I learned how to worship in SPO. I learned the necessity of having people to hold you accountable. I learned so much information about practicals of holiness. And then also, I was on Missionary Corps, which is a small group of students that are intentionally living lives as missionaries. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a Bible study, and I was reaching out to women on campus, and that really lit the fire in me, that I had a role in Jesus' saving work, that I had a role in fighting for the kingdom and bringing the kingdom to people at OSU. So that was really cool to be able to do that for a couple years, and it made me into a missionary for the rest of my life. It meant that, so now I'm out of college. I work at a restaurant and I just got a full-time job at Ohio State. And like, those will be my mission fields. Like I'm going to be a missionary in those places because I learned how to be a missionary with my best friends in college. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what happened. And the people that I met in college, a lot of us are like moving away, different places, but those will, I'm sure for the rest of my life, be women that I know well, women that I run with, women that I love and am invested in.
You're listening to The Family Sanctuary on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm Marianne Jepson. We are talking about St. Paul's Outreach. It is an outreach for Catholic students. Well, students, I don't even imagine you need to be Catholic to be joining St. Paul's Outreach. It is a very Catholic program on the Ohio State University and the Ohio Dominican University campuses here in Columbus. It is a national program. We'll talk more about that later. You just heard Carol Reith talking about her experience with SPO. We're going to turn it over now to Mitch Wilson. Mitch, tell us about your experience. You've got another semester here at OSU.
I do.
You've been with SPO how long?
So I came in and joined SPO on my sophomore year. So it was about three-ish years that I was involved with SPO.
Uh-huh.
I went to the Newark branch of Ohio State my freshman year, and it was just me and my roommate, and I had wrestled all 4 years in high school with him, and we were out at Newark, and he had kind of had a faith-turning moment that day. I grew up in a Catholic family, but never really took it upon myself. I saw specifically the Catholic faith that I went to as a very feminine thing, hold your hands right. My mom was the faith builder in the family. And so I didn't really want to associate with myself. I wanted to go out and have fun, ride bikes, get dirty with my friends, and that was that. And so it wasn't until I saw SPO sophomore year, I was looking for a living situation on main campus because I wanted to get away from the Newark branch and go to Columbus campus. And my mom had heard about SPO in a Bible study, and she's like, "Well, shoot them an email and see what comes of that." And so I shot him an email and met up with one of the missionaries who invited me to go to a men's night. And at men's night, they were playing Ultimate Frisbee. And I was like, okay, this sounds cool. But I'm expecting like these wimpy guys being like, "No, you catch it." Or like, "No, you catch it." Just like super, you know, I don't know what I was expecting. Just wasn't expecting what happened. What happened was these guys were hitting each other. These guys were going hard. And then they were praying with each other. And you could just see this authentic bond between all of the guys. And I wanted that band of brothers. I wanted to be a part of that. And it was rooted in something that was greater than themselves. It wasn't just like a really close group of friends. It wasn't a clique. It wasn't a group. It was just something that was way beyond themselves. And I couldn't help but want to be a part of that. And so I ended up applying for household, went on a couple of the SPO retreats, which really blew my mind, invited me into a relationship with Jesus. And from that point, life was completely different for the better. So I joined household my sophomore year. And it was a blessed time. It was an amazing time of growth with my friends. It was an amazing time of introducing me to mission, what that was, and going out and just sharing. Because I see it on campus all the time. People that grew up Catholic, specifically guys that grew up Catholic, that just kind of had a melancholy experience with it, just very bland. And so now being able to introduce like, no, this is fantastic. You guys got to get a part of this, experience this true, authentic masculinity, and just to be introduce that to them and introduce them to Jesus, which is, you know, the most important thing. And so it's been awesome. And so I was with them for 3 years, involved in missionary corps, like Carol spoke about, involved in formation, just heavily involved in mission. And like she said, it just propelled me into becoming a missionary wherever I'm going after college.
So how do you respond, Mitch, to these people who say, yeah, I know about SPO, but it's not for me. I'm Catholic. I've been raised Catholic. But there's something like, I mean, I even know the way you use your words. You speak differently. You talk about mission. Well, a lot of people are like, what's that? I hear people say this all the time, like, yeah, I don't know about those people. I see them and they're nice and all, but it's not my style or
yeah.
What.
Yeah.
You can understand that. So how would you answer that?
Oh yeah, I see that all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see that SPO is fabricated to welcome somebody in, no matter where they are in life. And they're entirely welcoming, and they have all of the different avenues that it means to live out your Catholic faith. You can visit the sacraments often because it's encouraged to do so. You can join a small group, which for me was the biggest thing, where you can share life with other people. You have this band of brothers, you have this this sisterhood that's there, that you're not alone. And I think that's such a big thing in college, is it's hyper-focused on asking you, you know, what are you going to do with your life? Who are you going to know? How are you going to be successful? But nowhere in the process does it ask, who are you? Yeah. And so having a small group, having this this group of people that are helping you to figure that out, in addition to pointing that at Jesus, who is always going to be there no matter what, that is it's extremely helpful in this pivotal year of your life.
It's what life is about. It's the goal. It's where we're headed. I mean, we're not headed towards big jobs, and that's not the ultimate goal. Heaven is the ultimate goal. I want to thank both of you two for coming in, Carol and Mitch. I'm going to flip back over here to Dominic. We have just about a minute left, and talk about, we have the banquet is coming up. I want you to give a few words about that and a little bit more about the national organization of SPO.
Yeah, well, on October 27th, 2016, we are having our annual benefit banquet for St. Paul's Outreach. If you've not been to the banquet before, we would love for you to experience it. It's a night that is deeply spiritual, and I promise you, you will leave uplifted by the work that God is doing here in Columbus, Ohio, with young people.
It's a lot of fun, too. It's a lot of fun when you see all of these young people, so many of them, just singing, praising the Lord, sharing their witness talks and everything. It's great fun. Again, that is October 27th, 2016. St. Paul's Outreach is, again, a national organization. We don't have a whole lot of time to go into that, unfortunately. But we're going to have Dominic, and we're going to have more shows on SPO, because I think it's such a great thing. There are a lot of good topics we can discuss. Thanks for joining us today on the Family Sanctuary. You can catch us on Mondays at 12:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Till next time, be blessed.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Marianne Jepson and Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com. Veni Sancti.